It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Maternal Mortality Review Team raises awareness about pregnancy-related deaths and makes recommendations to prevent these tragedies from happening. The team is part of the State Health Department. It reviewed 55 cases this year. You can join the discussion, call in with a question, share your thoughts at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Ann Ledbetter is a certified nurse midwife at 16th Street Community Health Centers in Milwaukee and a member of Wisconsin's Maternal Mortality Review Team. Ann, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate, and thank you for your interest in our work.
This panel examines the death of pregnant people to determine if their death was related to the pregnancy and what can be done to prevent it. Why work for this team?
Well, that's a good question. I joined the team about 5 years ago because there was so much in the news about the increase in maternal mortality. And as sort of an insider in the field, I just wondered if I could help come up with good recommendations as part of this team.
And how does the team work together? What is it? Can you give us a little bit of a sense as to what happens in this group?
Yeah, it's a wonderful interdisciplinary group. We have clinicians in the group, including physicians, midwives, as well as social workers, public health experts, also mental health experts. And Wisconsin is a very diverse state, both racially and geographically. So we try really hard to represent that diversity in our team members. So we have people from our group who work on Indian reservations, people from both rural and urban parts of the state. So we kind of meet together about every other month to review the maternal mortality cases. And it's always a difficult and provocative discussion. And in the end, we hope that the recommendations we come up with can make a difference in our state.
Over the last year, the team reported 90 to 100% of deaths were preventable. And reports from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, suggest more than 80% of pregnancy-related deaths are preventable. What are the most common reasons that pregnant people die?
Yes, that's true. And, you know, for unfortunately, one of the biggest causes of maternal death has to do with just mental health conditions. And that can include overdose, suicide. It's clear that there's a lot of isolation among pregnant and postpartum people, that there's sort of lack of support often in the community and even within medical care for the needs that both pregnant and postpartum women have. And we recognize in a lot of cases how that ends up contributing to maternal death.
So how does your panel determine if a pregnancy-related death is preventable?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And to be honest, it's not always cut and dry. We have a lot of debates on our group about which deaths are preventable and which ones aren't. The question we always ask ourselves when it comes to pregnancy-related death is, if this person had not been pregnant, would she still be alive? And so sometimes we can really find a direct cause from the pregnancy that relates to the death, but not always. And I would say, you know, as a team, you know, like I said before, we all bring different experiences to the table. And often we just have to parse out the details of the case and try to figure out whether we feel it was preventable. And then if we do think it was preventable, which we usually do, we come up with recommendations for how it could have been prevented.
Ann Ledbetter with us, a certified nurse midwife, member of Wisconsin's Maternal Mortality Review Team, as we discuss pregnancy-related deaths and prevention in Wisconsin. You can join in with your questions, your comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. The team offers recommendations to providers and facilities, healthcare systems. Which recommendations stand out to you? Which are the most common?
Yeah, that's a good question as well. Based on our most recent case reviews, you know, we find that there's sort of a lack of access to mental health and substance use screening and treatment programs. you know, sometimes these addictions or depression, they're not necessarily identified by providers and healthcare systems. And in other cases, they are identified, but there just isn't proper referral being given to mental health resources. And then, you know, obviously, like other states, Wisconsin also struggles with having access to mental health care.
It sounds like there are gaps here in mental health care, in maternal care. I wonder, on the physical side, are clinicians like making advancements there to detect and treat like maternal hypertension and other issues physically?
Yeah, so, and that's another sort of gap. You know, I think that a lot of people come to pregnancy with chronic disease and may not understand the risk that they're taking and the sort of the intensity of the care that they'll need. So another recommendation we often make is that providers really need to educate patients about their risks during pregnancy and the warning signs and symptoms of, you know, heart disease, pulmonary embolism, other signs of emergencies when someone is pregnant and perhaps higher risk for those complications.
As your team issues findings, issues recommendations, do you see follow through? Do you see action on these recommendations?
Oh, that's a really good question. I wish I could say I did. I think there's some movement and there's been a lot more attention to the issue of maternal death in the last few years. But I think at the end of the day, we kind of have a mismatch between the services that are available and the services that pregnant people and postpartum people most need. For example, one issue that gets talked about a lot is, you know, during pregnancy, there's sort of this intense prenatal care where women can have, you know, 10 to 20 visits during their pregnancy. And then that really drops off in the postpartum period. However, the postpartum period is where we're seeing a lot of the maternal deaths. And as I mentioned before, they're often due to mental health and addiction issues more so than health, other physical ailments.
But the provider, the OBGYN might say, well, you know, I delivered this baby. The baby is, you know, maybe doing healthy, doing fine. The mother seems fine. You know, the person may need to go back to their primary healthcare provider for that. Is there a gap in how to connect different, you know, systems, different facets of medicine?
Yes, I think there definitely is. And that's something we talk about all the time, is this sort of lack of a warm handoff between OB providers and primary care physicians. And, you know, also access is a problem. In Wisconsin, a lot of people lose their insurance after they have their baby. And so access to primary care is may also be limited for that reason.
What are maternal death rates like in Wisconsin compared to other states? And do other states have teams like this?
Well, yes. I think the majority of states do have a maternal mortality review team. And, you know, thankfully, Wisconsin, I feel, has one of the lower maternal mortality rates in the United States. I think there are a lot of things we do right in this state. We actually have one of the lower C-section rates in the state, one of the higher vaginal birth after cesarean rates in the country. So I think there are some things we do really well.
Anne Ledbetter is a certified nurse midwife in Milwaukee, member of Wisconsin's Maternal Mortality Review Team. You can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question, add your views. The number to join in is 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine complexities of maternal and newborn health with Anne Ledbetter, certified nurse midwife at 16th Street Community Health Centers in Milwaukee and member of Wisconsin's Maternal Mortality Review Team. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Joan in Madison. Joan, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Hi, my name is Joan, and I'm 83 years old, and I had three pregnancies and three births. My second pregnancy was fine, but the birth was very, very difficult. I had a GP rather than obstetrician, and I was in the hospital for a number of days afterwards. But nowadays, they are pushing mothers out of the hospitals very quickly. And it seems to me that a mother should stay in the hospital at least 3 days so that she can be carefully assessed by physicians and checked and run through a battery of tests. Because I do feel that after that second birth of mine, which was so difficult, I easily could have died if I had gone home right away.
Joan, thank you for sharing your personal journey there in childbirth. And Anne, I'm wondering, what do you hear there?
Yeah, it's so interesting to hear that our current standards, usually we have people who have a vaginal birth going home in 2 days, 1 or 2 days, and people who have a cesarean going home in 2 to 4 days. And there's some variation in that. And yes, with higher risk patients, you know, with preeclampsia or perhaps a postpartum hemorrhage, we may keep them a little longer. But yeah, I've heard that criticism as well. I think that there's some truth to it because women do need a lot of support in the days following childbirth. However, I also think that we could do better with things like home visits for postpartum moms. I'm aware of, you know, traditions in other countries where people who have a baby have a in-home postpartum doula for a week after childbirth. So I think there's other interventions that might be perhaps less costly than staying in a hospital, because hospital stays are expensive. And I think there's ways to leverage other community resources to make sure that postpartum women get both the physical and emotional support that they need.
Let's bring in Janice now in Fontana. Janice, hi.
Hello, thank you for having me. I appreciate your having such a great discussion on a very important topic. I just wanted to add that I believe that the most common cause of maternal mortality is car accidents, and that it's very important for everyone to know, and especially pregnant women to know, that they need to wear their seatbelt every time they're in the car, no matter what trimester. But if they're in the second or third trimester, they need to wear them.
And Janice, we're having a little bit of difficulty there, but wearing seatbelts properly in pregnancy, Anne.
Yes, that's very important. And actually, on the maternal mortality review team, every year we review cases of motor vehicle accidents where it is possible the person could have survived had they been wearing a seatbelt. So it's a really good point to bring up.
Let's bring in Philomena now in Ashland. Philomena, what would you like to share?
Hey there. Thanks for the discussion today. So I was reviewing the 2017 report that your team issued, and I think that's the last that's available on the WDHS website. And one thing that I noticed that was not highlighted in the report, and that I had to do my own calculations, is that American Indian women in Wisconsin, or American Indian pregnant people in Wisconsin, are dying at a rate that's about 265 times the rate of white women. And, you know, the fact that that wasn't highlighted, I found really disturbing. And I'm just wondering what the group is doing to address awareness in the extreme risk that Native American women are facing in pregnancy.
Philomena, appreciate your call. Anne, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Philomena. I think you're right in pointing out that disparity. There's racial disparities also among Black birthing people in Wisconsin. And one thing our team is trying to do better is include more people from Native American communities on our team. And in this last year, we have had a few people join our team with in-depth experience in those communities. So I think there will be improvement in sort of more specific recommendations we can make based on their experiences. I do want to share that our team does make available now on the DHS website our every meeting we have, we post the number of cases we reviewed and the top recommendations from those cases. So if you want to get my contact information, I'm happy to help you find those documents online if you need any help.
Do you see wide disparities in your numbers of white women versus underrepresented people in birthing?
Well, we do. I unfortunately don't have any statistics on the mm-hmm. Native American population, but I do know that while Black people make up only 10% of births in Wisconsin, they make up about 21% of pregnancy-related deaths. So that's certainly a disparity that our team works hard at trying to parse out why that is and what we can do about it.
Ann Ledbetter with us, certified nurse midwife, member of Wisconsin's Maternal Mortality Review Team. Join the conversation, call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. Ruth in St. Croix Falls now. Ruth, hi.
Hi, good morning. My name's Dr. Ruth Smith, and I'm a family physician that does obstetrics in rural Wisconsin. And I just actually came from a delivery. Oh. I wanted to get Ann's thoughts specifically on growing maternity deserts in our state. So I work in Northwest Wisconsin. We have a pretty robust practice, lots of family physicians that do OB. We have had a very hard time recruiting OBGYNs. We have had multiple small hospitals near us in the past few years close their OB units. And our moms are having to drive further and further to get their routine OB care, which can be limiting, and then also having to drive further and further for delivery. So I'm wondering if there's any first data on rural versus urban because of some of these challenges, and then also what statewide initiatives are looking at helping to serve our mom in these rural areas.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. Anne, go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for bringing up that really important topic. I work at a community health center, so I'm also serving sort of an underserved population, but I think even that doesn't compare to what rural parts of our state face. And I thank you so much for continuing to serve that area, because we all know that outcomes get much worse when doctors are leaving areas that are already underserved. So thank you. As far as initiatives in the state, I'm not aware of too many, but I do want to bring up the fact that certified nurse midwives can also help plug some of these holes in rural areas. Unfortunately, our state's laws really doesn't permit certified nurse midwives to work without a collaborative physician who's willing to sign a document agreeing to be their sort of supervisor. So that's going to limit the number of midwives that can practice in rural areas. So one thing I would encourage the state to do is change laws that sort of hamstring the efforts of midwives, because I think certified nurse midwives can also play a huge role in plugging some of those holes in maternity care deserts.
What stigmas do certified midwives face?
Well, I think it varies and it is getting better. You know, I feel Wisconsin is sort of neither the worst nor the best place to be a midwife in the United States. But as our numbers grow, I think there's a better understanding of midwives, but there's still a lot of people who sort of view our care as inferior and who sort of have a lack of trust in midwifery. And I think we really need to face this stigma. And once there are more midwives practicing in the state, there'll be more sort of acceptance and knowledge of what we do. And I feel that our state is headed in that direction, which gives me a lot of hope.
Is there a midwifery education pipeline that is robust enough in our state?
Well, thankfully, the state of Wisconsin does have one nurse midwifery program, and that's at Marquette University. That's where I went to school as well. And that's actually what brought me to the state of Wisconsin. So again, I think it's better than in some states, but unfortunately, once someone becomes a midwife, it can be hard to find a preceptor to teach them midwifery practices, because it's a great number of clinical hours you have to obtain. So there's a bit of a bottleneck with finding preceptors for midwifery students.
So once you do the education and the clinical, and then that step of finding a practice and finding, you know, someone to work with, is that what I'm hearing? And very quickly here.
That too is an issue. I've worked with several midwifery students over my career, and I do find that they often struggle to get jobs after they graduate simply because there just aren't practices willing to hire nurse midwives.
Anne, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having us and for your interest in this topic.
Anne Ledbetter, certified nurse midwife at 16th Street Community Health Centers in Milwaukee, member of Wisconsin's Maternal Mortality Review Team. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.